good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome once again to the Mopod Podcast. Got a special holiday edition, so to speak, of the podcast. I'd actually had every intention of recording a couple of podcasts today, but my computer is being a bit wonky. What does wonky mean? Well, it's a very complicated computer term that most people aren't familiar with. So we'll just leave it at that. Wonky. It's been misbehaving and doing a number of things. But I got the important work out of the way today. Had a guest in the office here of my basement of the house here in town. Had a nice little lovely chat with my wife, Amanda. For those of you who do not know, my wife has gone back to school. She's in her third year of being back at school. She did a year at Central Community College here in town. And she's now getting ready to wrap up her third semester of classes at Wayne State, going for her elementary ed degree, which I'm very proud of her for doing. It's been a long road, but she has been killing it. She has been kicking some serious butt. She's made the honor roll or dean's list, depending on which institution she was at. Pretty much every semester she's been back, and she was actually even invited to join the National Honor Society chapter in Wayne. It was a very specific chapter, actually, that does a lot of work with the community, which unfortunately she had to respectfully decline, because most of that work would be actually next year, when she won't actually have to be on campus, which will be nice. We actually get to save money the 2012-2013 school year, because you won't have to commute to Wayne quite so much. That's really one of the, and that's one of the other startling things about this past year and a half or so since she's gone to Wayne, is my wife has been kicking serious butt. She started her own business after her first semester at Wayne. She was still working part-time at a quote-unquote real job. Heavy emphasis on the quote-unquote. And even with all of her road time, she's still just done an amazing job in school, and I cannot be more proud of her. I wish she'd get a little bit more rest, but if she was getting more rest, then her work would suffer, and I wouldn't be as proud. So, catch 22. Brought her in to sit down. This was her modified project to wrap up a one of her big educational chapters in her intermediate literacy course, talking about a mentorship program that her and her classmates did with a group of eighth graders at one of the schools up there in Wayne. And it was her final project, very loose format on how to get it done. And so she asked me if she could sit down and just be a guest on the podcast. It kind of seemed to be on a relevant course. Did I say elephant? Oh, gosh. I haven't had enough coffee today. So instead of me rambling on, I think we'll just go ahead and have a conversation with my wife, Amanda. So, just how many projects do you have?
Well, there's this I've got to finish up, which is due Monday.
This is due
Monday.
Monday.
This is my...
So, it's a good thing we're doing it now.
Yeah.
We're recording, by the way.
Are you just getting a feel for it?
No, we're just going to go right into it. You need to learn how to relax a little bit. Because what... The funny thing is that you kind of helped plant the seed for doing this podcast, because last year when we did which class was that where we did the little 10-minute recording thing?
Communications.
Your communications class. And we just had a conversation about, it was just me as a writer? Was that it?
Just interviewing somebody that I know very closely.
Yeah, we've met a couple times. My wife Amanda is in the basement in the office. It's now quieter than it normally is when I record in the basement because the loudest of the kids is preoccupied on the computer. Two of the other ones are off at a friend's house. Where's Elena?
Color.
My wife Amanda, who I've referenced before on the podcast, is kicking butt at Wayne State. Going for her elementary ed degree, and be at Wayne, correct?
Mm-hmm.
This is your third semester, and then you've got one full semester actually on campus coming up next year. And then after that, student teaching. Scoot up a little bit.
This is for intermediate reading.
Intermediate reading. Now, this is... No, this isn't just a course about reading books. This is intermediate reading in regards to the educational field, correct?
Yes, we just completed a service learning project. We did a mentorship with Wayne Middle School. And so this is part of my literacy partnership. This is just kind of my debriefing my project and what I've learned about myself as a teacher and what I learned in helping students as well.
Yeah. Because, like, when we talk about literacy, I mean, obviously literacy is the ability to read, but when we talk about being literate or being well-read, it's when, like, if you and I were talking about it, just a couple of people talking about it, it's different than when talking about it in the elementary field, correct?
Right.
Sure. So when you, as far as literacy,
as a teacher, you want to your children, your students, to have you want to bring out that desire for reading and writing that you know is way down inside of them. Sometimes they just need help in bringing out what their interests are, and you just guide them along the way.
And did you find that challenging for you as well? Because you're not exactly a big reader.
I used to be a really big reader. I was ahead in my class in reading. And then being forced to read boring textbooks and pretty much for memorization and then given a test... It was just memorizing things, and it really lost my love for that reading, which...
What about, like, books, for, like, assigned reading for, like, English class, you know, reading the grades? Like, was there required reading, like, Grapes of Wrath? And
yes, required textbooks, or required books, just books that, here's a good book that the teacher likes, but not necessarily what I like to read, and I think
so not just textbooks, just... If you were told you had to read this,
right.
It just turned you off, no matter what it was.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
And so, how's that been for now? Because there are books that you've had to read since you've gone back to school. This is your third year back to school. And how is that? Do you find that you're still battling that to a certain extent?
Not as much, because... I'm finding that I'm reading books that interest me because I'm going into teaching, and so I want to acquire as much knowledge as I can so that I can help the students that I will have someday.
I'm trying to be a little bit more glib, but I actually have the list of questions and answers that Amanda is supposed to have prepared. And ready for this, but I'm trying to be a little bit more glib than just reading very dryly. What are you most proud of? Well, obviously, I mean, yeah, just from talking to you outside of this format, just you and I talking, as married couples are wont to do. I mean, you have you've been enjoying, although I think at times you've got a little bit freaked out about this mentorship program.
I think I was really nervous at first. Because you don't know what to expect. You have butterflies, but I guess it's kind of like your first day of school. You don't know what to expect. Your first time studying, you don't know what to expect. You're nervous. Those butterflies in your stomach are actually good things because then you're ready. I think Dr. Nordstrom had said something about, you know, she's like, then you're ready. You know, you're nervous, you're ready. You know, you got this.
So if you're calm, that should cause alarm, because if you're calm, you're completely unprepared.
Right, right. I think a lot of us, the first day, we didn't really know what to expect. We had planned, you know, we were going to go in. And the first thing, and in our readings, we've learned that you really want to get to know your students, who they are as a reader. As a writer, what do they like? What do they enjoy? In fact, we used some things out of some of our books to help us with that. Just kind of to get to know the students.
Because how many students did you actually work with? Was it a one-on-one? Or did you have a group of students?
It was one-on-one. And I had, his name was Stephen. Some of us had one, and some of us had two students. And so we pretty much, you know, just getting to know them. Mm-hmm. And what do they like to read and enjoy? And in doing that first day, just asking questions about just different things that they liked.
Like, what did Stephen like? What kind of books did young Stephen like to read?
He loved...
And how old a kid was this? She's looking it up. Hey, this is very off the cuff. You'd know if you'd listen more often.
Right.
I support my spouse in everything she does, and she can't listen to my podcast.
I do too.
So, there were eighth graders?
Yes.
And who was the teacher?
Mrs. Lutt.
Mrs. Lutt. And so, eighth grader Stephen in Mary Lutt's class, what kind of stuff did he like to read?
Science fiction is what Rick Rorin was his favorite author, and so...
Oh, Riordan. The Percy Jackson guy.
Yes.
Gabe likes.
Yes, yes.
So, for those of you late to the game, we have an 11-year-old son who is an avid reader and would-be writer, and he enjoys the Percy Jackson and other books by Rick Riordan. Now, did you then have to try and utilize what these students liked reading and try and direct it towards your goal in promoting the literacy?
Right, right. What they had to write about was Native American Indians.
It all comes back to Native Indians for you this year. was that last year you had, or was that this year, with the language class?
Last year.
Last year.
The Omaha Ponca.
Yeah, so now you're back to Indians again this year.
Yes, yes.
In a roundabout way.
Yes. So we had to, using these, their interests, find books that would interest them and things that they would want to be researching about the Indians. And in that, he also told me that he liked to write tragedies. And so that made me think, okay, let's get him to try to find a tragedy in there. And so researching, he, you know, chose a tribe. Well, first it's like, okay.
You need to find the American Indian Shakespeare.
Well, it was all about, next, you know, it was like, okay, everybody started researching right away. And we were just kind of like, he's looking at me like, okay, are we going to go in there or aren't we? And, you know, that's where that whole peer pressure thing, like, your peers are all going to the computer lab when we're yet still trying to figure out, you know, what kinds of things that, you know, he'd be interested in writing. When some people are just, okay, jump in, go research. Let's get on those computers. And that just didn't seem to be what he wanted to do. But yet he was kind of like wanted to go in there as well. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, I asked him if he knew which tribes that we had in Nebraska, because it had to be Native Nebraska tribe. And so, you know, we were like, okay, so we found some things, and I had some stuff that we had already done research about beforehand, so that we could prepare ourselves for this project.
So you kind of already had a little something in your back pocket, mm-hmm, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And so, and that's part of the readings that we've read about. You want to model for your students what you want them to do. So, you know, by modeling your research, then they're going to see, okay, so then they're going to want to research as well. And so we went ahead, and I think that first day we went ahead and went in there. You know, looking at mentor texts as well, even though he was kind of like confused as far as where you wanted to go,
so what did
where do I start looking to find out which tribes, you know, what do I do, like, to tell him, okay, but not tell him exactly how to go about.
Instead of telling him exactly what to do, you had to find a way to guide him.
Guide him in that direction. And so I was like, well, you know.
That'd be very frustrating for me, because I'm very hands-on. Just, here, this is what you do. You go here, you go here, here. What's so hard about that?
Right, right. And that was hard, not to just tell him the answers, but to help him find out, okay.
Had to bite your tongue a lot.
Yes, I did. And that was hard, because you want them to think, not do the thinking for him. And so, you know, I said, you know, well, a good place to start would be the library, you know, so we went in the library, and, of course, then it was, he stood there in front of all these books. He kind of knew right where the Native American Indian books were, went right over there, stood in that section, was like, okay, which is a good one? Like, normally, I've seen students that will go and just pick up, you know, we'll go to the computer right away, look up Native American and find some books and then go over there. But no, he went straight to where these books were and just started pulling something that looked good. And I said, so how do you usually choose a book to read, you know? And he's like, oh,
I don't know.
I look at the cover. And I was just like, wow.
Whichever one looks cool.
Whichever one, yeah. And so that just made me think about how, as a teacher, you're going to have students that do that, that just look at a book by its cover and say whether they want to read it or not without knowing anything about it. And, of course, that is why I think a lot of times students don't care for reading, because they look at the cover instead of looking at the content in the back, reading a little description about what it's about without knowing what it's about. Just looking at the cover, you don't know whether it's going to be a good book or not, you know? And so I think that's, you know, one thing that might deter students from wanting to read something that's actually really good. That's where, as a teacher, I feel like I really need to know some books beforehand. Like I said, doing the research beforehand, reading some of those books beforehand, so I can help those students say, I really think this would be a very good book, or you may enjoy reading this book, you know?
So how is that going to work then later? I mean, are you going to be, do you need to stay on top of all the mm-hmm. new books?
Definitely.
That's a little daunting.
Definitely.
Because, I mean, just, I find it daunting when, you know, every month or every couple months when our kids come home with the book order forms, and there's just so many of them, and, like, I'd never heard of this Percy Jackson until the movie came out. I'd get, you know, as opposed to, like, with Harry Potter, and the Harry Potter craze, it actually started before the movies had come out. Or it'd even been in talks, I think, but that's gonna be a little overwhelming.
Yes. But to be prepared, that's something that, as a teacher, I'll need to do, is make sure that I am reading those books, and so that I will be able to help them and guide them into finding a book that will interest them, so they will.
You and I are never going to have any free time together once you're out of school. Oh my goodness.
If anything,
you're going to be reading all these kiddie books.
But I think children's books are fun to read.
Yeah, they're easy reads. I could fly. I could probably fly.
Easy reads. But anyway, so you know, we opened up a book and he found a map right away of different.
What tribe did you end up going with?
Omaha Ponca. Well, two separate tribes, but yet they're one. So he's like, well, I want to do Ponca. You know, because they are two separate tribes, but yet one.
Ponca and Omaha Ponca, you mean?
It's Omaha and Ponca.
Omaha / Ponca.
Mm-hmm.
Ah!
Yes.
All right.
And so...
I never knew that.
He did decide to do Ponca, and that was really interesting, because then, you know, of course, we had to plan for our next time, and that was going to be doing research. And so we were in the computer lab, and watching these students, like, you know, watching him research, a lot of times, you know, I had to guide him into, we had already looked up websites beforehand so that we could help guide them to there. But instead of, you know.
By we, you mean like in before you sat down and did the mentorship, like in your class.
Yes.
Your class went over a list of reference sites or
yes,
what have you.
Yes. So in guiding him and finding credible websites, in fact, we had, I used out of, trying to think, we used internet resource cards for, so that they would, evaluating a website is what we used from Jim Burke, you know, so that they will, you know, has this site won any awards, different things, so that the credibility is established, and so that it's not me telling him, hey, this is a good site or this is a bad site. It's me guiding him into this.
Sorry, we had a little wrinkle in time. We got disturbed by a small child. So how do you guide, instead of telling him, how do you guide him to a website?
That's by giving him these internet evaluating a website page, giving him.
So you actually gave mm-hmm. him the actual.
Giving him these sheets that, you know, evaluating website. That way he can write down, you know, what you know, if this site is credible or not, because based on the questions and that way he can tell, you know, he was able to tell. You know, and also, I think we've all kind of learned, and I even explained to him, you know, a lot of times that the .com ones are kind of questionable. There are some that are okay, but those, the .edu, the .org.
You need to be careful with that, though, because Wikipedia is a .org, and that's open source, so.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, and I did talk about that, because he went right to, I think, Wikipedia.
I think that's going to be one of the big downfalls, which you're going to, hopefully in a few years, when you're out in the world working as a teacher, finding that that's, I mean, I fall prey to that as well. When I'm in the middle of a writing project, I go, if I have a question, one of the first places I go to is Wikipedia. If I don't Google it, I go straight to Wikipedia. And that could actually be, that can present problems later on, depending on how well you do the fact-checking. Now, how long did this mentorship last? Was it...
It was pretty much the whole month of October.
Like 2 days a week, 3 days a week?
Sometimes it was two. Most of the times it was three, depending on if we had, you know, if our we were on fall break or they were on fall break, those kinds of things happened. But,
So probably about 8 or 9 times you guys got together and went over this... went with this project.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of a story did he end up finding then?
Well,
trying to find the tragedy. Right.
And then he found the story, and in his research, he found about Chief Standing Bear and how Chief Standing Bear was forced down.
He was forced down.
Forced to leave where they were.
Oh, okay. Forced to leave his land.
Yes, kind of over by that Omaha area, kind of up there.
Sent into the reservation.
And forced to leave. They went down to Oklahoma, and that's where he was forced to go down to. But his son died along the journey, and that's where he was like, oh, there's a tragedy, and he read that. And then, of course, Chief Standing Bear wanted to honor his son's last wishes were for him to be buried in their homeland. And so Chief Standing Bear started the journey back, went back there, and then got caught by the soldiers, the U.S. soldiers, and thrown into prison. And he fought them on it. And, of course, one of his famous quotes was, I am man, meaning I am a man, too. I am a man. And it was so neat to watch Stephen, because he was just like, I am a man. And I just kind of said, man, that's a really neat quote. And his project that he did was multi-genre. So when I say multi-genre, that in writing aspect, that covers quotes, and there's a whole list of genres how you can write, and from horoscopes, haiku, gossip, games, monologues, myths, sonnets, whatever, and like he wanted to do a tragedy.
Yeah.
And then that went to where he was like, well, multi-genre, he could have a quote. You know, so he was all excited about that. So he's
being
like...
Being able to tie in the quote.
Tie in the quote. So that was his second genre then, was the quote of I Am a Man by Chief Standing Bear. And then they needed to have two short and one long, and so...
Was there a minimum of genres, like a minimum number of genres they had to use, or...
Yeah, two short and one long genre. So, long genre would be something that he'd have to write, at least, you know, do more writing, whereas the other two, which is a quote, is a short genre.
Okay.
So, his tragedy, he decided to write that from Chief Standing Bear's point of view, and make it so that it was kind of a journal entry, in a way.
And he didn't use, like, the pidgin English, did he? Some of the stereotypical speaking habits that were have been portrayed in the past in like movies. When moon was high, I'd take my son across the valley back to our land of our fathers.
No. He just kind of retold the story of them being forced to leave, and then their journey back home, and how he was fought the U.S. soldiers, or fought in court to be able to bury his son, in which he did. He was able to bury his son, and they did win back some of his land, and were able to stay, of course, on the reservation. But, you know, that was where, you know, he learned the most, just reading that piece. And then, also, Stephen was big into sports. He loved sports. He played football, basketball. He played them all. Football, basketball, wrestling. Anyway, so he wanted to also incorporate, he wanted another, and sports, I believe sports is another genre, so he decided to do a sports, like a how to play a sport, and so he started looking up Ponca sports.
Oh, like traditional games that they would play.
And so he ended up finding, and this was it's so interesting because, you know, you can't tell them what to write. You can't tell them what to look up. And so you have to guide them in that, and it's so hard not to say, well, you know, I really think you should do this, or, you know what I mean?
But the athletic aspect was something that he came up with on his own.
You know, and I think, I remembered seeing, you know, his sheet that said, you know, he liked doing sports. Okay, so You know, and I think, you know, he was kind of like questioning at first the whole research project thing.
Because research is dull. Mm-hmm. Research is boring.
So, you
which
know.
Which it is.
The sports.
It doesn't, that doesn't ever change.
But he made it fun by, you know, hey, sports is fun to him. And so, looking up something.
Steering it away that mm-hmm. appealed to his interests.
Mm-hmm. And the thing
which
that
was also kind of, which is good because that was basically the whole point of the project.
Right. And he ran into some problems like, some with schools, they block a lot of sites. And so some of the sites that were approved by our school weren't necessarily approved by his.
So what you could access from the at the college and what he could access mm-hmm. at the public's junior high school
yeah.
for obvious reasons.
And so that was kind of like, ugh, there was nothing we could do right then and there about that. So we were running into quite a bit of that. We were trying to, you know, link up to find more about it, but we did find some stuff, and, you know, that's where stepping back, and I say we, but I mean he, because he did it all, and that's where, as a teacher, it's their own work, and, you know, you don't do it for them, and I think at first, I think all of the students, and including Stephen, thought that we were going to write it together, that it was going to be... that we were going to help, we were going to do
Stephen
a portion of the writing.
Stephen and Amanda's project.
Right. I think that, you know, okay, so you're going to help us write this, right? You're going to help us. And they didn't realize that, you know, we're learning to be teachers, you know, in guiding, in mentoring, in, you know, modeling. And that's where I think it was kind of confusing, too, at first. But you know, I think, and we didn't know what to expect. Like, I keep going back to that, but nobody knew. You kind of knew, but you didn't know. And it was just kind of like, as a teacher, you kind of, you have things prepared, so you know what you're going to do, but things change. And, like, we ran into some issues where they were off school, and we were off school at different times, and so that shortened our time together, and so we had to cut a couple of genres out. We were actually going to do more, like five short and two longer. I can't even remember now what we were going to do. But we had to cut some of those out. So, you know, it taught me as a teacher to be, you have to be flexible. You know, yes, you don't want to cut, you don't want to let time, and in fact, that's one of the quotes from one of my readings. Was don't let time was not letting time cut the creativity. Basically, you don't want to let the clock run you. Yes, teachers are kind of like, you know, run by the clock in a way, but you don't want to hinder that student from their creativity by saying you have to have this done at this time. You know what I mean? Yes, you want to have a goal and a timeline, but you also don't want to, you know...
Don't want to betray the project and the creativity of the project mm-hmm. and the essence of it by saying, well, I know there's more you'd like to do with it, but not because you haven't done enough already, but even though you want to do more... Which oftentimes I think probably gets misconstrued as, well, you had all of this time, why didn't you get it done?
Yeah. But I think it all ended up really, really nice because he, I think he finally got the, you know, we listened to a couple speakers, and that's where we got to use, had done in our reading and research beforehand, or that I had done, where we had cards, or sheets that we gave them to kind of like write down about the speaker, or speaker sheets that they would fill out, information, questions that they wanted to ask, things like that, what they had learned beforehand, and then after listening to the speaker. And so, you know, we had those, and, you know, granted, the speakers that we had weren't from any of his tribes that he was researching, but it was still informational to him, And I know that he really enjoyed having those speakers. I know that, I think all the students did, and being prepared with questions was really what helped.
Did you see, it seemed like you saw any kind of change in Stephen from the first meeting to the last time you guys worked together?
I think the first time, you know, and I think as a teacher, and when you first meet a student, you're nervous, they're nervous, because you don't know them, they don't know you, but that's where you just, you know, that's where you start asking questions, like, on the likes, dislikes, different things, get to know them, their families. Like, he's a cat, he likes cats. Well, I could say we have a dog, I don't know if I really like him too well, but he's okay. But, you know, like, he's like, you have 5 kids, and you're, you know what I mean? Like, finding out, you know, that he's got, you know, family as well. And
so you did build a little bit of a personal relationship. Not really a personal relationship, but...
Right, but just, you know...
More than just...
You want to get to know your students, but on a professional level, and where it's not crossing that boundary of... student-teacher relationship, of course. Like, some people take that to a whole nother level, but we won't even go there. but I think it's really important to be able to communicate with students, and being able to get to know your students is far more important than a grade to them as well.
And do you think that any doubts that you maybe had about you in your potential as a teacher, do you think this helped to assuage those fears a little bit by having that basically an initial teaching experience?
I think so. It helped me to gain a little bit more confidence, and also, you know, just made me think more and grow more. And you know, you're not the one. It felt like at times like I wasn't doing any work, because they're the ones doing the work, but that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I forget that, because...
You're getting them to do the work is your work.
But see, and I forget that, because as a student myself, I'm doing all the work, and so I wonder, you know, man, these teachers, you know, and that's, I think Dr. Mertram also said how doing the work, you know, that students at the end of the week should be going, oh, man, I'm so ready for the weekend, and not the teachers. The teachers should be like, woohoo, it's the weekend, you know? And I remember her saying that, and so that puts into mind that you want the students to be the ones doing the work, doing the research, doing that, being exhausted, you know, but not, you know, to the extreme, you know, of course giving them breaks and stuff like that, but they're the ones doing the work, not you.
Yeah, because you still need to be able to come home and fix me a dinner. Get that important stuff handled.
But I think that, you know, and I think it also helped me as a parent, too. Like, when and he had a lot of pride in his project. As I think about that, I just was thinking, you know, helping my son doing a project. He did the project and how proud he was, and that just reminded me with Stephen how, you know, when you do the work, they feel like you're the one that did the work. You did it. Not them.
Yeah.
But when Stephen did that project, he took ownership. They take ownership of that project, and they have a certain pride about their project. And with each other's projects, they look at them and they're, you know, it's like, wow.
Which probably also made you give you some pride too, seeing how the pride that he took into his project and how much time and effort he put into it and how good it made him feel. That in turn reflected upon you as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. It did.
Did you feel fulfilled?
I think so. I think, you know, I knew which things I liked to use. You know, some of the things, like, I had planned to use...
As far as, like, tools?
Yeah, tools that we had learned. I had... was going to use some of them. And that day we got there and I gave it to him to use, and he just kind of looked at it blankly and just kind of like... I was like, okay, we just kind of, like, scratched that. Not going to work, you know, kind of thing. That's where that whole being flexible and changing to accommodate the student's needs. What Stephen needed at that time was not this another worksheet page or something to fill out. You know what I mean?
They needed it. It's still that in some of the more in some of the teachers that our kids deal with, because there's definitely a lack of flexibility, I think, in some of the teachers that our kids this year are dealing with.
And
we never, I mean, in the years, and, you know, granted, I think it must be something that's kind of relatively new, you know, allowing for that, because we've had some younger teachers that our children are, we have three that are, of course, in that are school age, and I think for the most part they've had some younger, more broad thinking teachers, whereas this year we're starting to get into some of the seasoned veterans, if you will, that have been in the system for a while, are locked into a way of thinking that this has worked for me for X number of years, and they are now so used to that that it's hard for them to think outside of that box.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it doesn't work, it's a reflection on the child. And
which is wrong. It's a reflection of the teacher and not accommodating the student's needs, because each student is unique.
And that's what made you so frustrated after parent-teacher conferences this year.
I think so. Because it seemed like they weren't meeting the student's needs, and that's where I feel like with this mentorship project, it's helped me see that meeting those students' needs are more.
Just because you had that plus it was that one-on-one interaction. You weren't mentoring 5 kids or 20 kids; it was you and a student.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was fun.
I think I had a lot of fun. It was a blast. It's kind of like, okay, it was over, and it was like debriefing it in the classroom, and it was like, wow, we're all done with that part. You know, now it's like, okay, now we got to work on, you know, our literacy workshop and what we've learned and in our classroom and how we're going to design that. It's like, wow, okay, use this literacy workshop that we learned or use this mentorship that we, you know, and kind of put that together with that and how we help that student. Okay, how are we going to incorporate that in classroom? So it just is kind of like, okay.
Now, vice versa, do you think that this project and this class overall, has that helped influence you as a student and a reader?
Oh, definitely. And I think the most important thing I've taken away from this mentorship is to give your students choices. If you give your students choices, they love it. And I think our professor, she has given us choices, and I have loved it. Being able to do my literacy autobiography, my choice, I did a scrapbook, and let me tell you, it was the best work, and it brought out that part of writing and reading that had gone away, and I just love that. And I think giving those students choices, they love that, you know, and giving the students, Stephen, like, the choice, he enjoyed being able to do, hey, I'm doing a tragedy, I'm doing sports, you know, giving them choices.
And the option for you to sit down here in the basement and sit in on the podcast, and you and me basically just, I mean, would you believe we've been down here for almost 40 minutes talking about this?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
But it was a nice conversation.
It was.
So
definitely giving my students choices, and how doing a project like this can, you can cover so many standards by doing a project like this, instead of just doing some reading and then taking a test over it. I appall tests and quizzes anyway.
Yeah, you do.
And so to read and take a test is just, ugh. So giving your students...
How was that?
Ugh.
Okay.
So giving your students choices and still being able to meet all the standards that they have created for you, for that student.
While being able to make it a little bit more light and engaging,
you know,
and fun.
Yeah. And I know Dr. Nordstrom said, you know, it looks like you're not doing anything, but that's because the students are doing all the learning while you're sitting back watching and guiding and conferencing. Because we were conferencing with each other, just talking. So anyway, you're able to take that work and say, here's what the student did. Here's all the standards that they met. You know, so it does work. It does work. And so, yes, I'm very thankful that we had this opportunity to do this service learning project. And I think I've grown as a teacher as well in...
I'll put you on the right track.
Definitely.
I'm glad we had the opportunity to sit down and do this. So, thanks for guesting on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
And there you have it, guys. A nice little conversation between me and my lovely bride, Amanda. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed sitting around and BSing for 40 minutes in the basement while the kids were otherwise occupied for a short while, which doesn't always happen. If I can get this thing to stop being so wonky, I will get another episode up before this coming Wednesday. Otherwise, I hope that this helps satiate your thirst for all things Mopod. If you are not quite satiated enough, please go back to mopod.podomatic.com. Go through the archives. They are a little bit limited, but you can go back a couple months. Of course, you can always go to amazon.com and download the free Kindle platforms for your laptop computer, your personal computer, your Apple computer, or your mobile telephone or music listening device. And there you can then purchase one of my books for a mere $5 or one of my short stories for $1. We will be back next week with Our Own Devils. And of course, you can also contact me at mopod@live.com. You can also go to the Facebook page, Mopod Podcast, on the Facebook, become a fan, and stay on top of all things Mopod. In the meantime, this one is going to be one of the longer ones we've had in a while. We've been keeping it kind of short, so I will let you guys go. We all had a great Thanksgiving. I'm going to go take a nap.